This is my Bible.
I am
what it says I am.
I can do
what it says I can do.
I am a believer,
not a doubter.
I am a doer,
not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith cometh by hearing,
and hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
All right, dual text
I'm going to open up with Psalms 34:19
and John 16 and 33.
Psalms 34:19
and John 16 and 33.
I want to talk from the subject of
finding balance in life,
We live in a very fast-paced
society,
and if you're not careful,
if you don't do things God's way,
it's easy to get unbalanced quickly in life.
How many know that?
And so we talked a lot about that.
Last week we talked about
the number one thing is making sure that I develop a relationship with God,
that I'm cultivating
a relationship with the Holy Spirit
where he's leading me,
where he's guiding me,
where he's helping me,
and those kind of things.
And so I think we laid a good foundation,
and I gave you
four different points
as it relates to the things
that you have to do
to make sure,
that you
have this balance in life.
And today,
I just want to really
just encourage you
some areas and even
talk a little bit
about
navigating
some of the storms
in life.
How many know that sometimes
life can just happen?
Situations
can just happen, you know.
The Bible teaches
us in Psalms 34
and 19, it
says that many
are the afflictions
of the righteous,
but it doesn't stop there.
It says, but
the Lord
delivereth
him out of them,
what class?
All.
So not out of some
of them, but the Bible
tells us that as a
believer that I'm
going to go through some
things. As a believer,
it does not exempt
me from challenges.
As a believer,
it does not exempt
me from going through
some things. How many
wish as a believer
it did exempt me from
challenges and going through
some, right? But
the Bible doesn't
teach that, you know?
And so
he says,
many are the afflictions
of the righteous,
but
he makes a
statement and a promise
here, but the Lord
delivereth him
out of them all.
So no matter
what comes my way,
no matter
what goes on
in my life,
even if it's something that
has taken me by
surprise, it
has not taken
God by surprise,
and God already
knows what he's going to do
in your life
and in your situation.
As a matter of fact,
he has already
opened the door.
He's already made the
way. God has
already done everything
he needs to do
to ensure
your success,
your peace,
and your prosperity in life.
Does that make
sense? And
so now let's go
to John 16
and 33.
I'll kind of give you the
backdrop
of John 16.
Of course,
Jesus is
introducing
the Holy Spirit,
and he's talking about how
he's leaving and
that they're going to
go through some things,
you know, but
he gives them the
comfort, you
know, in
everything that he's
going through. He
says, I've told you these
things so that
in me
you may
have
perfect
peace
and confidence.
Everybody say
peace,
peace.
And confidence.
All right, one more time,
peace.
And confidence.
I don't care
what happens in your life.
I don't care what you go
through. I don't care how
tough it is.
I don't care how
long the trial is.
I want you to know
that in the midst of
anything, that
God wants you to have
peace and confidence.
It is the will of
God for you to always
have peace and confidence.
It doesn't mean that
things won't get tough.
It doesn't mean that
people won't get crazy.
It doesn't mean
that times won't get
challenging.
But in the midst of all
of that, God
always wants you to
have peace and
confidence.
So he says,
in the
world, you will have
tribulation
and trials
and distress
and frustration.
How many know that's right?
Right?
He says,
but
be of good cheer,
take
courage,
be confident,
be certain,
be undaunted.
Watch what he says.
For
I have overcome
the world,
I have deprived
it of power to
harm
you, and I have
already conquered it
for you.
And so no matter
what comes,
though no matter what
goes,
even though I might
deal with some
certain things in life,
Jesus
has already taken
care of everything.
So he wants me to
be courageous.
He wants me to
be confident. He
wants me to be certain.
He wants me
to be undaunted,
because he
has already
overcome
everything for me.
You got it?
And as a believer,
you have to,
you know, because,
see, and the reason
Pastor has to teach you
these things is because
when something, you know,
has anything
ever come up in your life
and got you frustrated?
Everybody
in the room, right?
Anything
in your life ever come
up and made you frustrated?
You said you were going to
let it go, and
then that afternoon it was
right back on your mind again?
Anybody
went to bed and
said, I'm just going to give it
to Jesus, I'm going to cast
my care upon him,
and you woke up the
next morning and it's
still on your
mind? Right?
That is a trick from
the enemy,
because now he's
shooting all these thoughts,
because he
knows that when you woke
up, you've got purpose.
He knows that when
you woke up, there's some
things that you have to make happen,
and he will do whatever
he can
to always shoot
these fiery darts
of the wicked one
at you
to make you
distracted from
God's purpose
and plan for your life. Does that make sense? And so that's why the writer says we can't be ignorant concerning Satan's devices. And so he says, I have already taken care of everything for you. I want you to have this peace. I want you to have this confidence. I want you to have this peace. I want you to have this confidence. So no matter what I go through, I have peace and I have confidence. I have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that guards my heart and mind through Christ Jesus, that even if it feels like all hell is broken loose in my life, I've got a peace. And I've got a confidence, and the confidence is not in based on my ability, it's based on his ability. So even though I might not be able, it's okay because he is. Does that make sense? So I have to have peace and confidence. And so the reason Pastor teaches you these things is because when you get in those situations where it can get frustrating and the enemy tries to work overtime, you got it, it's so that the Holy Spirit can remind you, no, walk in my peace and walk in my confidence. Does that make sense? I want to just really have a conversation with you. I want to talk to you about some things. I really want to talk about some topics. I call them points. They're not exactly points the way I normally do points, but I want to talk to you about three things today. So I want to talk to you about purpose. I want to talk to you about pain, and I want to talk to you about poise. Everybody say purpose, pain, and poise. All right? Poise, I slashed it with faith. I'll explain that when I get there. All right? One more time. Purpose, pain, and poise. All right, let's talk about purpose. Let's talk about purpose. It is vitally important to understand that you have purpose. If you don't feel or understand that you have purpose in life, you'll be subjected to give up. You got it? Anytime you feel like there's not a purpose for a certain thing, let's just be honest. Is there, I guess I could say that. Let me see. Where were we at recently? And they talked about a CD, and somebody said, what's that? Was that recently? Anyways, don't worry about it. And so let's go back. How many remember 8-track tapes? Yeah. Does anybody even have an 8-track player? Oh, we have 4 people in the house. Does anybody used to have one? Okay. And after a while, you realize that it no longer had any purpose. Right? Because we moved from 8-track to cassettes, right? And then we moved from cassettes to CDs, right? And really, we moved from CDs because the way technology is now, everything is MP3. It comes to your phone. You get a link. I'm not saying that CDs are, outdated, but they kind of are. But anyways, I'm not, if you notice in some cars now, depending on what kind of car you buy, they don't even have CD players in there anymore. They have these jacks that you can plug up to your phone, and they moved away from jacks that you can plug up to your phone because everything is Bluetooth now. So the moment I start up my car, you understand what I'm saying? Whatever is on my phone automatically comes through my speakers. Does that make sense? And the way the technology follows is it follows the phone and not the car. So when I go into my house, I can hit play and pick up right where I left off. Does that make sense? And so, but a lot of us don't have 8-track players anymore because they no longer have any purpose unless I know there's a few people that say, I still have an 8-track from a long time ago, but I'm talking about they're not making them anymore, they're not selling them anymore, and so most of us did what with our 8-track players? Yeah, we got rid of it. You got it? Just got rid of it. And that is the danger, in life, that, if you think you don't have purpose, you give up. If you don't think you're far as you should be, then you'll give up. And my thing is, what's the measuring stick for how far that I should be in life? Does that make sense? Because, see, I'm not really in competition with anybody. I'm marching to the beat of my own drum. I'm just trying to be better than I was yesterday. So now I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to lead me and to guide me and to help me. So it doesn't matter if you got your degree in 4 years and I got mine in 14. The bottom line is I got my degree. Does that make sense? And you have to learn. You got it? That my purpose, watch this now, and who I am in life is not based on any of those things. And all those things are great. But at the end of the day, it's not based on that. Go with me to Ephesians, the 2nd chapter and the 10th verse. I'm going to read out of the Amplified. It says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship. So when I read that, I understand that there was not an assembly line and God just dropped everybody in the mold. How many know that God made us different? We look different. We laugh different. Some of us are tall, and some of us are extra tall. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you know, some of us, everybody, you know, there's so many different features that are different about all of us. Some of us have big noses, and then some of us have small noses. We're all made differently, and we kind of think a little bit differently, and it's because we are God's own handiwork. We are his workmanship. God knew exactly what he was doing when he made you, and he didn't make any mistakes. Does that make sense? All right. He says, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, all right, that we may do those next two words, class? Good works which God predestined, all right. Remember that word predestined, planned beforehand, that's all that means, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them. So we see that really when I begin to understand my purpose in life, that God made me, watch this, in my own mold, and he predestined and planned for me to do good works in the earth. I'm supposed to walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. All right, so let's kind of go through this. So thank you. So what happens is, so God made me, and he made me special edition. You got it? So I'm not made like anybody else. You can't find another James McIver Jr. You understand what I'm saying? Right? And so you have this purpose that God made you, and he made you just the way he wanted you. All right? And then he designed you to do good works in the earth, because you're never closer to the will of God than when you're impacting somebody's life in an amazing way, when you're giving fresh air to someone who feels like the world is closing in on them. And that is what real purpose is, y'all, all right? I need y'all to understand, that is what real purpose is. Real purpose, watch this now, and you got to get this, because if we're not careful, we'll say, you know, my purpose in the earth, and don't take this the wrong way, all right? Let me use teachers and nurses, you know. Shout out to all the teachers and nurses. Last week it was nurses appreciation, teachers appreciation. You got it. And matter of fact, we have the awesome privilege of providing lunch for all the teachers at West Craven High. So we fed them. We fed 100 teachers this past Monday. Was it? Amen. And so when they asked, when we talked to them, and you know, Ellen asked, what do people normally do? They said, oh, they just normally drop off subs and chips. You understand? And so the minister Deb called me. She said, I can't drop the teachers off subs and chips. Is it okay if I make my ziti? I said, well, I wasn't going to ask, but since you brought it up. Because you know everything we do is WLCC style. You understand? But watch this. So don't take this the wrong way, but a teacher or a nurse is not your ultimate purpose. It's the avenue that God uses for you to make a difference in the earth. Does that make sense? So it doesn't matter, because if it worked like that, then there would be some kind of bar, or there'd be some kind of barometer that, you know, if I have my master's degree, I can provide more purpose. And I'm not knocking education, so we should get education, but I have more purpose than somebody else, and it doesn't work that way. So God uses us and gives us different avenues, but at the end of the day, the ultimate goal is to make a difference, to impact somebody's life in an amazing way. And when you do that, that is what causes you to live a good life. John 10:10, you know the scripture says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So he wants me to live an abundant life, but it's only to the degree that I walk out my creative purpose of impacting people's lives in an amazing way. And I can do that if I'm a teacher, if I'm a nurse, you got it, if I'm a housewife, just whatever. I can do it in any area. So it's not based on, watch this, a certain position, but it's based on what God has already put on the inside of me to make a difference right where I am. Does that make sense? That's a good place to clap, and you almost missed it. But if you're going to clap, don't patty cake. Give me a good clap. You got to love me. You got to love me. Romans 8:28 talks about, whom he did know, he did predestine. Pre having to do with before. Destiny having to do with the destiny. He told Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you to be a prophet. And so you've got to understand that before we got here, God knew you were going to be here. And he already put purpose on the inside of you. And purpose for you is not based on something that you went through. Does that make sense? No, because, you know, maybe as a kid you went through something traumatic. Well, it doesn't negate the purpose that God put on the inside of you. All right? And so you have purpose. You are not the product of your parents' passion. So before your daddy called your mom and said, hey, let's go out on a date, you understand? And let's get married and, you know, all that kind of thing. You are not the product of your parents' passion. You are the product of the purposes of God. And so God always knew you would be here, you know? I've heard people say, well, you know, I was the baby. And mama said they wasn't planning on me, but God was. And you have to understand that. And so you have to understand you have purpose. And not only do you have purpose, but you have self-worth. You have self-worth. And the reason why everybody in here has self-worth and our self-worth is the same is because Jesus paid the same price for me as he did for you. So there's really no big I's or no little U's in the kingdom of God. We all, you know, at the end of the day, have the same self-worth because Jesus paid an incredible price for you because he died for you on Calvary. He shed his blood, and it does not get any better than that because not only do you not live an incredible life here on this earth, but when you close your eyes here on this earth, you open your eyes in heaven, and eternity belongs to you. Why? Because Jesus already paid the price. Does that make sense? All right, so worth is not based on what kind of clothes you have on. Worth is not based on what kind of car you drive. Worth is not based on what kind of house you live in. All right, so we're not knocking. If you just got a brand new house, we're gonna praise God. We're gonna celebrate. But if you didn't, we still gonna celebrate you. You got it? You know, if you're like me, I don't want to be around people that just celebrate me because they know I got something. What if I don't have anything? What if I lost everything that I had? Are you still going to be my friend? Do you still want to be around me? Do you still want to talk to me? I want to be around somebody that's going to be around me for who I am and not what I have. Oh, man. The Bible says that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he has. And so we thank God, you know, if he blessed you with things, we thank God, we celebrate you, but you are not who you are, you know, because of a car you drive or a house you live in. You are who you are because of the relationship that you have with the Father and the blood that Jesus shed for you, and that's what makes you valuable, and that's what makes you have self-worth. All right? All right, so wave at me if you're single again. I know I had a lot of single. Oh, I'm a single lady. All right. See, single ladies, when you know your value, you won't put yourself on sale. Okay, I'm just going to look right here. I'm not going to look up. You won't put yourself on a discount. You got it. You know, you won't let them shop and compare. Okay, yeah. What's that thing we used to say a long time ago? No wed, no bed. No ring, nothing. No contract, no contact. You can't try it before you buy it. You sure look nice. I'm cold as ice, but please don't touch my merchandise. You know, because you have to know who you are. And when you know who you are, you won't let anybody just come at you. Isn't that right? Yeah, you won't let, no, ladies, you don't just let somebody come at you and then they getting all close. No, you, stop, you in my space. You know, and they want to be hugging up. They just met you trying to give you a hug and pull you in tight. No, when you know who you are, you won't devalue yourself. You won't put yourself on sale. Come on, somebody, because I know who I am. I am fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. I am the apple of his eye. I am the object of his affection. You understand? And you got to let him, if you come this way, you got to come correct. All right. Do you love Jesus? Do you have a real relationship with God? Are you spirit-filled? Do you have a job? Do you still live with your mama or do you have a... There's some like questions you have to ask as you go along. You got it. Am I going to be your wife or am I going to be your mama? Because there is a deal. I need to know these things. Let me just stop. Because I got more. But I better let that thing go. Because in the middle of the night, when they break, if we hear no, do I got to get out the bed or are you going to get out there? Like, I got to know. Are you going to be a provider? Are you going to be a protector? You got it. Are you going to be the one that leads us to church? Are you going to be the one that prays? I got to know. I just, because like at the end of the day, any relationship that you enter, you got to know what you're dealing with. Because think about it. In business, they do that. Whenever we do transactions in corporate America, we don't just say, okay, yeah, we shake on it. No. We have these different contracts, and we start, and then after the contract, we read over the contract. Sometimes we have to send our contracts to the lawyer so he can look over the contract. And then we ask all kind of questions. And then, you know, and then when we feel like, okay, this is a good decision, we shake hands on it. You got it. So we don't meet at 3 o'clock and you at my house at 11 o'clock. Hebrews 10 and 35. I'm just saying. No, listen. Oh, y'all got to hear me. How you start is how you continue. Hebrews 10 and 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. A lot of times when we read this, we just go right on to verse 36. For ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. But I want you to back up to verse 35, because I want you to see something. All right? Let's read it, and let's read it real slow. Cast not away, therefore, your what, class? Your confidence. So the Bible says don't cast away your confidence, or let me give it to you another way. Don't discount your confidence, all right, which hath great recompense of
reward.
So it is my confidence that gets rewarded. A lot of times people they never saw it this way. He says, don't cast away your confidence, for it has great recompense of reward. And then it goes on to say, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So it is my confidence that gets rewarded. How is it that it's my confidence that gets rewarded? It is my confidence in God's ability. It is my confidence that God will never let me down. It is my confidence that in him I live and move and have my being. It is my confidence in his word that it shall not return void, but it will accomplish that thing that it set out to do. It is my confidence in him that when I'm sitting at the doctor and they see something, I boldly just let the doctor know, I'll run any test you want, but just so you know, by his stripes, I'm already healed. It is my confidence in the word of God that no matter what tragedy comes, that no matter what challenge comes, that no matter if hell or high water comes, if I lose everything, I serve Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides, that'll turn that thing around. You got it. It is my confidence that if I'm flying in the air at 30,000 feet on Delta and it starts getting a little shaky, that it is my confidence in him that he's given his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways and in my pathway is life and not death. It is my confidence that everybody around me is in fear, but I'm not in fear because if he got to send some angels to hold up both wings and cause that thing to land, everything's going to be all right. It's my confidence. My confidence is, and my confidence is in him. It's in him. All right. So now let's go to the next part. Man, is that time is flying? Is that right? Can't be right. I don't think that's right. I think they missed the clock up. All right. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye have need of patience that after. So the will of God is not automatic. He needs my permission. He needs my participation for him to usher his will into my life, right? So in faith without works is dead being alone. So there's some things I have to do. Isn't that right? There's some things that I have to do. So he says, you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Patience, I'll give you the definition real quick for that. It's real easy. Patience is the ability to handle delay and remain in joy. It is the ability to handle delay and remain in joy. Every delay is in my favor. No today don't mean no tomorrow. You understand what I'm saying? So if I'm willing to wait forever, it won't take that long. So I have to have confidence in God's plan over my plan. Let me say it again. I have to have confidence in God's plan over my plan because let me just help you. The most of the times we mess up stepping out trying to make our own plans instead of following God's plans for our lives. Does that make sense? All right? So it's the ability to handle delay and remain in joy because faith is not frustrating. Everybody say faith.
Faith
is not frustrating. When I'm in faith, I should be in joy. I should be in anticipation and expectation. You got it? That God is moving on my behalf. He's moving on my behalf. So the joy I have, if I'm going through something, is not based on where I am, but where I know he's going to take me. It's based on the fact that I know he's never going to leave me. I know he's never going to forsake me, that he's going to be with me to the end, all right? All right? Oh, man, I'm still on point number one, all right? Everybody say purpose. All right, now let's go to point number two. Let's talk about pain. Sometimes on your way to destiny, things don't go the way you plan. Anybody in the room ever had something not go the way you plan? I mean, sometimes, unfortunately, life just happens. You got it? A divorce happens, or a loss of a job happens, or a bankruptcy happens, or issues with children happen, or a decline in your business. Some things in life just happen. And let me just tell you, it is how we respond to the situations that arise in our life that will determine the outcome. All right? It's how we respond. And I'll just go ahead and get right to it. The key is I have to respond. I'll go to it in a minute. The last point, I have to respond in faith. I have to respond in faith. Because when you experience pain and pain is real, if you don't deal with pain the right way, it opens the door to fear. Bottom line, if you don't deal, how many know what I'm talking, how many like pastors show right on that? Because if you don't deal with pain the right way, it opens the door to fear. Fear of things not working out, fear of something worse happening, you understand what I'm saying? And fear is the opposite of faith, all right? The reason some people don't rebound in life from bad situations is because of fear, you got it? Instead of moving forward, you got it, in a situation, you know, they think that they can't rebound. They think that life is over. And then there's certain people that nothing bad has happened, but just because they got some news of something possibly not going the way it's supposed to, they start appraising the possibility of losing when they've never lost. And I never appraise the possibility of losing if I have not lost. People say, what if it don't work? I say, what if it does? Somebody says, what if it don't happen? What if it does happen? You got it? What if I don't reach my goal? What if you do reach your goal and exceed your goal? So you have to just make it up in your mind that if I'm not in competition with anybody, if I understand my purpose, if I have a sense of confidence, and if I have a sense of peace, I can override any pain that tries to come my way, because purpose overrides pain. All right? When you understand purpose, it overrides pain. Okay, come on with it. Fear is a temptation that does not impact you until you act on it. Job said, it's the thing that I feared the most that's come upon me. And fear, the thing I love about fear, though, is dispelled by choice. All right? David makes a statement in Psalms 56 and 11, in God have I put my trust. I got to go, Courtney, so we might as well play. I'm just going to figure out how to wrap this thing up, because we didn't get to my last point. Did y'all get blessed? All right? You know, when I start to really teach and so many other things come, and so I just have to just work this way. Okay, I got it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I know exactly what to do. Watch what David says. Just before we watch this, I want you to think about whatever challenge you may be experiencing. And it doesn't have to be anything horrible, you know, but any challenge you may be experiencing. No, you can keep it up on the screen. Any challenge that you may be experiencing. You got to understand that no matter what comes or no matter what goes, you serve a God that's bigger than anything that you're going through. And he wants you to have this peace, and he wants you to have this confidence that he's going to get you through whatever it is that you're going through. But watch this. But him getting you through what you're going through is not up to him, it's up to you. To the degree that you respond in faith, he can get you through it. To the degree that you respond in fear, you start backing up. So David says, in God have I put my trust. He said, and I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. You know, I think we talked about this a couple months ago. The confusion is most people see themselves as what they went through, not understanding that you can go through something and not be it. This is one of my favorite verses. Years ago, I used to tell you all to always write this down, keep it in your phone, and those kind of things. Hebrews 13 and 5. I absolutely love this verse. What did I just say? I absolutely love. And I want you to absolutely love this verse. Watch what he says. Let your character or moral disposition be free from the love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions. Be satisfied with your present circumstance and what you have. Now, let me help you with that, because some people, when they read that in the Amplified, they think it means that they can't dream for more or they can't believe for bigger. That is not what that's saying. That is saying learn to have the right heart where you are, to walk in the right character where you are, and to have an attitude of gratitude for where God has you at this moment. And if I have those in line, God will take me further. Does that make sense? For he himself, watch this now. For he himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. But Pastor, they talk about me. Let them talk. Like, you do know somebody's always talking about somebody, right? Yeah, you didn't. The problem is you're just finding out. So, you know, it done broke your heart. They've been talking about you for months. Persecution is only effective to the degree that you need acceptance from the one talking. If you don't need acceptance, it really doesn't matter. Luke 10 and 19. I got to give this to you. Behold, I give you. Thank you, Ellen. Behold, I give you to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Get this next part. And nothing shall by any means, I like to say be able to hurt you, but and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And nothing by any means shall hurt you. And nothing by any means shall hurt you. Nothing can hurt you. Nothing can stop you. Nothing can slow you down. Nothing can cause you to go backwards in God. Nothing can stop you from your destiny. Nothing can stop you from your goals. Nothing can stop you from your plans. It doesn't matter if people talk. It doesn't matter if somebody fires you. It doesn't matter if people change their mind about you. It doesn't matter if everybody walks away from you. It doesn't matter if the deal was bad and they did you wrong and you're the one that got in trouble and got to pay for everything. You've got to understand that you serve a God that's much bigger and much greater than anything that you go through. And no matter what you go through, nothing by any means shall be able to hurt you. Nothing by any means shall be able to hurt you. Can I give you this last thing? Oh, man, I got to go, Courtney. You're taking long, girl. Okay, Psalms 1, my last scripture, I promise. I promise. I was going to go to poise, which was faith, and explain how you had to have an unwavering composure and stability in the face of adversity. It's having this confident assurance without intimidation from the sense realm. So it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what others are saying. It doesn't matter about any of those things. I still believe God. I still believe God. And you got to learn how to still believe God in spite of. You got to learn how to still believe God no matter what's going on. Well, Pastor, I messed up. Okay, so what? Everybody's messed up. Come on, all the honest people in the room, if you messed up, raise your hand. Okay? And most of us, we that messed up more than once, we put both hands up. You understand what I'm saying? We've all made mistakes. The Bible didn't say y'all have sinned. It says all have sinned. The key is that I have a right now commitment to righteousness that today I've made it up in my mind I want to do it God's way. So watch this. So I don't move from my position of faith. I stay in my position of faith. Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. So it's in this word. And in his law doeth he meditate how often? So I'm walking this word out day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night, because learning takes place through repetition, all right? And as a result of this, verse 3 says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Man, if I had time to go into this to understand, to get you to understand, there is a reason why the tree is right next to the water. You understand what I'm saying? But I don't have time to go into that. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither. He says that your leaf shall not wither. Normal leaves wither. But he says that if you do these things and walk this word, your leaf will not wither. Leaf, watch this. What a leaf on a tree is a sign of fruitfulness. It's not the will of God for you to be fruitful some of the time. It's the will of God for you to be fruitful all of the time. It's not the will of God for you to be doing okay in this season and then kind of bad in this season and okay in this season. It's the will of God for you to do good all the time. He says, and whatsoever he doeth, shall prosper. So what am I saying? If I will just walk this word out and do what this word says do, I'm going to prosper. I can't do it the way of the world. I got to do it the way of the word. That's good. I can't do it the way of the world. I got to do it the way of the word. So from now on, the next time something happens, this is what I pray. Lord, I pray that you remind them of peace and confidence. That I have peace and I have confidence. You next time you get a phone call, Holy Spirit's going to tell you, walk in peace, walk in my confidence. Next time something goes crazy, walk in peace, walk in my confidence. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building.